Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
At least I hope not towing division. Brian Kilmeade here. Thanks so much for listening. We're coming up after Super Tuesdays. A lot of breaking news. And we'll try to keep you up with all of it. About, within an hour, Nikki Haley's expected to go up on stage in South Carolina and call it a day. Call it a campaign, or at least suspend it. And you have to say, when you say suspend it, it's a little bit different now with Donald Trump on all his trials. You never know what's going to take place, especially 181 and 177. But for all intents and purposes, it is over. What she'll say, how she's going to handle it, very interesting. Rich Lowry from National Review, to put it all in perspective. We've seen bitter campaigns before. How does this one play out? Will there be a healing stage? Let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three. If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like, what?
Yeah, like what? Was she former press secretary? Does she not understand that all 50 states are now border states? Maybe Joe Biden feels the same way. That's why he's so vulnerable. Battle at the border. Roadblocks impede two states from enforcing their own border. And migrant crime booming in all 50 states, even though some people think it's funny, while Dems try desperately to flip the script on Republicans while denying crime matters.
Number two.
Nikki Haley is going to be dropping out of this presidential race. She's going to be delivering remarks here in the Charleston area. We are told she is not going to endorse Donald Trump. She is instead going to call for him to earn the support of both Republicans and independents who are not supporting him right now.
Wow, that's so interesting. That's the great Bill Malusian reporting outside campaign headquarters for Nikki Haley. It's a Haley healing time. Ambassador Haley expected to announce she's done. How does Trump reunify the months of bitterness with his one-time ambassador to the UN? Why, I think they both need each other more than they even know.
Number one.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive.
So that is Donald Trump. Obviously happy last night in front of 1,000 people at Mar-a-Lago. Super Tuesday has morphed into a reflective Wednesday. We look at the results on both sides. Democrats, too, as Trump triumphs in Biden, although virtually uncontested, gets a message from his own party about what lies ahead. And one of which was Minnesota, where there was a huge contingent who came out and voted uncommitted because they're trying to send a message to him. They don't like his stance on Israel, perhaps. So that is something he should take away, and he saluted them, I guess. No preference in North Carolina, 12%. Remember, 101,000 in Michigan for Biden and 19% uncommitted in Minnesota. That is a message. But sadly, instead of holding your ground saying Israel should be supported and I'm leaning on them to be more precision weapons when it comes to Gaza, I sense he's going to abandon Israel, and that's going to, I hope, wake up the Democratic Jewish vote in America and let them understand the next guy coming in is going to be a guy, one of them, is going to be even more pro-Israel. And it's much more pro-Israel than Joe Biden. So where are we at right now? So when I started the show on Fox and Friends this morning, right at 6:01, all of a sudden we get message, the Wall Street Journal broke this story, John McCormick, that the Haley campaign will suspend. Then we find out a little bit later they will not endorse. So I'm not saying never, but will not endorse. And within a couple of days, Ron DeSantis endorsed. Many people thought, I don't know if that's going to happen. But I think what I said earlier is both need each other. Why? Nikki Haley has a bright future. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, she's a rhino. She's not a rhino. She might not agree with Trump on everything. It doesn't mean she's a rhino. Some of the things that Donald Trump believes would have been considered Republican in name only issues 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and now they're substantive issues. I mean, if you told somebody in the 1980s or 90s that you were against free trade, that would be protectionist, that would be a reactionary, and that would be a Democratic talking point. That China was a threat was a Democratic talking point. And now everybody knows that China's a threat. Donald Trump made sure of that. And free trade, we saw the flip side of that, and that is Donald Trump's credit. So don't say that she's a rhino. She is not. She is pro-Ukraine aid, as am I. I don't think that should mean anything. She's 52 years old. She does not. She had big crowds where she traveled. She should have done more Q&A reportedly out in the stump. The speech ended up being very similar to what she gave. But she's extremely good on interviews. She's filmy conversant on foreign policy and domestic policy. But what does it mean for her? She needs Trump voters eventually. And Trump needs to make sure that he's got every one of the Haley supporters. Now, think about it. I mean, she did pretty well in a lot of states, 20-30% support. A lot of it's for her. Some of it was anti-Trump. And if she wants a brighter future, an easier one, and if he wants to make sure that this next run is a winning one, he'll find a way, in the Trump way, to say, let's come together on this. Here is Ari Fleischer, Cut 17.
Well, there is no question the 2000 primary was acrimonious, and it took years for that to heal. It did not heal as soon as George W. Bush was declared or won the Republican primary states. John McCain remained angry at George W. Bush. George Bush made peace with John McCain, but it was a very unsteady peace. And could you argue that hurt George Bush and how close the election was in the fall of 2000? I don't know, but in a race that close, everything matters. Going forward, you know, the way you heal a party is by speaking in healing language and healing tone. Do you want to crush your opponents or do you want to beat them and welcome them back in? Because you'd rather have them with you than with Joe Biden.
That's Ari Fleischer, press secretary. He's also a crisis management expert. And he knows what the ultimate goal is. So he said that before he knew Nikki Haley was bailing out. But when you lose 14 to 15 states on Super Tuesday and lost all states and everything except D.C. and Vermont overall, when you are down and it's impossible to win, you only have one way out. Now, you go the Ted Cruz way and never endorse. And you could say, well, he insulted my wife, or back and forth, all this stuff. But he never endorsed it. They end up extremely tight. Next thing you know, Donald Trump is campaigning for him in Texas. So eventually it's going to happen. That's if he wins. But a lot has to happen. I got Axios is reporting the new Joe Biden strategy against Trump, and I'll get to that shortly, which I think is interesting. I just talked to Dana Perino on TV. She said, you know, why did Joe Biden not make a speech last night? He had a win. He had a win in all Super Tuesday states. Of course, he's virtually uncontested, but you have a lot to talk about. Hey, look at this turnout here. Look at this turnout there. I'm still at top of the party. There's no Michelle Obama. You know, put together a good speech. Use the opportunity. Everybody would have carried it. But just like the Super Bowl, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do interviews. He does one magazine interview with The New Yorker. I was reading it. It takes 4 days to get through. The New Yorker has such a skewed look at his administration. I almost laughed out loud when I was reading it on the train on the way home. But Donald Trump, I think, gets it. He did not mention Nikki Haley last night before he even got this news. Cut two.
It was a tragedy. Because you wouldn't have, think of it, all of the problems that you have today, I don't think you would have had any of them. You'd only have success. And that's what's ultimately going to unify this country and unify this party. We have a great Republican Party with tremendous talent, and we want to have unity, and we're going to have unity, and it's going to happen very quickly. And I have been saying lately, success will bring unity to our country.
Yep, and he needs a plan to do it. And one thing is pretty clear. He needs money. The RNC did not have much money, much like when Hillary Clinton got the nomination. They say in the summer after the convention, met with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she had no money. But she was wasting it. I don't think Ron McDaniel wasted it, but it's gone. So he met with Elon Musk the other day and to try to heal their rift, to try to get some support from him. Elon Musk must also realize he's been targeted by this administration. Now, he is insulated by his wealth and his government contracts with Tesla and SpaceX to a degree. But they could easily make things really tough for him, find him gummed up in courts, let his next adventure be impossible to pull off. If Joe Biden is president, you could see he's being targeted, even though he's got the best electric car in the world. Maybe China's got one better. I haven't seen it yet, but it's about to roll out. But even though he went green and said climate change is real, he has had a huge rift with the Democratic Party. So that's what I sense is going to be taking place. So it's exciting. We're going to get a rematch, and it's going to be a long one. 8 months long. 8 months long of these two going at each other. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what Axios is reporting about Joe Biden's strategy, which I don't think it's possible for him to pull it off, but he's going to try. Then at the bottom of the hour, Rich Lowry. So again, the big news is within an hour, Nikki Haley will officially concede. What will she say in that speech? I'll take your calls next. 1-866-408-766. Now, what should she say? What would you say? How about that? And you know the bitterness commented on her husband serving over in Africa. Where's Michael? And you know the bitterness. Bird brain doesn't really sense. It's not trying to wrap your arms around her. You know that she questioned his cognitive ability, said that he can't beat Joe Biden, that he's not the same person. Okay. This is tough to come back from. I don't know anybody in my life that I would come back and talk to again. But then, I never ran for office. And you have to understand, in order to win sometimes, you got to attack someone personally, make them unelectable. That's what we're about to see that Joe Biden's going to try to do. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Big day. The day after Super Tuesday. It's a reflective Wednesday. Don't move.
On the road to 2024.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. There's never been anything so conclusive.
And then there was one.
Let me just speak specifically to Nikki. Thank you for running.
All signs now point to a Trump-Biden rematch. Who has the momentum? Who is leading in the polls?
The Cookie Monster.
Find out here on the Brian Kilmeade Show. The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
But we just have a call now. In American Samoa, President Biden will lose to Jason Palmer, a self-described entrepreneur and investor. He is going to win the American Samoa Democratic Caucus. This marks President Biden's first loss in the 2024 primaries. Palmer takes four delegates. President Biden takes two. We saw uncommitted with more than 100,000 votes in Michigan. I don't even know who Jason Palmer is.
That is fantastic. And that he's a businessman. I saw him on CNN at about 4 a.m. He's a businessman that beat him in American Samoa. I feel bad for American Samoa Republicans, both of them, because March 8th was going to be the American Samoa primary. And now it doesn't have to happen because it looks like Nikki Haley, or there's going to be any drama that probably takes place. Nikki Haley is dropping out. So that's his story with American Samoa. So I don't even understand how Joe Biden lost that. But I do know, too, that Joe Biden does have an issue with people not showing up. And as I mentioned before, what I find so interesting is that with Joe Biden, he does not speak. I don't know how he's going to win. He's not speak. Axios is reporting today that he plans on going nuclear against Trump. He wants to go for the jugular against Trump, like he's been doing, but doing it every day, pointing out all the crazy things he said. They think that Trump is losing it, and they think that by pressuring him, he's going to snap. I don't know if Joe Biden, I understand you want to go after Trump personally, but do you understand you have to get in line? CNN, MSNBC, every late night show, every newspaper, the New York Times, headline today, Trump gives his victory speech, is very dark. Every editorial, outside maybe the Daily Caller, Fox News, of course, .com, Washington Examiner. So you're going to go beat up on Trump and you say his skin is not thick enough? Good luck with that. So that's what he's going to do. And I will say something else. In November, they already said he was Hitler, he's going to get rid of democracy, was going to be a dictator. He said that in November. They said it in January. Now we're in March. And now they say they're going to go and do that. It's already their strategy. What you're doing is you're blowing any type of sprint to the finish, any type of right hand to the solar plexus that knocks a player out when you've been trying to knock him out for 8 months with the same punch. So some people are writing me. Richard writes this. Brian, I've told you previously my opinion about Nikki marches on. I still think Nikki believes she's making the noble sacrifice in her own words. Well, she's not going to be marching on. Joan writes me and says, hi, Brian, I live in Tennessee, but was talking to my sister who lives in Massachusetts. When she went to vote, they didn't require any kind of ID or address. She's contacted several people in government and is waiting for a response. So anyone can vote in Massachusetts, question mark? I thought you might be interested in giving publicity and investigation to this. Yeah, Joni, I hate to tell you, but the same thing on Long Island. When I go to show up, the woman doesn't know who I am, just because I'm on television. Just go, they go, what's your name? Brian Kilmeade. I point out, that's it. And they got to go in and vote. No one asked me for a license. And voter ID, we had Merrick Garland go down and speak at a black church. I forgot what southern city it was in, maybe Atlanta, and just say, it is so wrong to ask for ID in front of at a black church. Really? How insulting is it to the black community to think that they don't have an ID? They know they want to get on a plane, on a bus, want to make sure that they have a driver's license. When you have a credit card, sometimes they ask for that. If you want to open up a bank account, you need an ID. If not, you get a temporary ID. It's nuts. It's so true. I mean, I just don't get the ID thing. You will actually make people feel so much better in an election if you could just say, as a country, you need voter ID. And no excuse mail-in balloting. I know Oregon does it themselves, and I guess there's not much of a problem in Oregon. But unless your state is imbued in their constitution, no excuse mail-in balloting should be excused. Also, covering this, Fannie Willis is back. Fannie Willis case and the Nathan Wade case is back up front and center. We have more accusers who say their relationship started prior to the Donald Trump case, the indictment being handed out. In 2020, they say that Nathan Wade basically set up her office, set up his office. They fired when she won her election. Evidently, they fired everyone, said you have to reapply for your positions. Guess who was in the room? Nathan Wade. Why would Nathan Wade, a nondescript attorney who both focuses on car accidents and wills, be with Fannie Willis? Unless they're in a relationship. Jonathan Turley, Cut 33.
The fact is the odds are against the president on immunity. Now, it's true that once you get into that high grass.
Cut 34. Sorry, Eric.
It's like a series of jump scares in these proceedings. Every day, someone stands up and says, I also have testimony to give. And what's interesting about this one is it's another prosecutor who, first of all, says that I heard this witness say that the relationship began long before Nathan Wade was hired. Now, the judge could easily say, look, we have that in the bag. We already know that that Bradley's testimony contradicted what he told counsel. And it's pretty clear in his text that he didn't have any problem with his memory when he was talking to counsel.
So what I'm trying to say and what it means in the big picture is just specifically what he was referring to. Someone overheard Fannie Willis extorting the ex-business partner who has already testified that don't bring up anything to do with our relationship. We don't want to bring that up in court at all when it started. So that was overheard by a witness who will now put their hand on the Bible and come forward and say she was basically telling people to lie on the stand. She lied on the stand. It's unbelievable. So if you take that case, you throw it out. You see the delay with the immunity case. You wonder their ultimate plan of stopping Donald Trump, not at the ballot box, but in the courtroom, is failing. There's a lot more runway left, but it's starting to fail.
If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
What's your message to Democrats who are concerned about your phone number?
My phone number is the last five polls you guys don't report. I'm winning. Five in a row. You guys only look at the New York Times. They're a great paper.
What's he talking about? I mean, he's not winning five. Donald Trump, even in the New York Times, it says, New York Times. Yeah, the Fox News poll is trailing by two. The Wall Street Journal poll trailing by four. The CBS poll trailing by four. I believe the New York Times poll was by four. This has been the same case for 4 months in Michigan, in Georgia, in Nevada, North Carolina, and Arizona. I mean, listen, I saw the one Quinnipiac poll. If he wanted to just say the Q poll is different, but to say he's winning the last five polls, you guys don't want to report it. Number one, you don't talk to the press, number one. And number two, they report any good news about you. Rich Lowry, editor of the National Review, has a great column. So Joe Biden will never be normal again. Rich, he got a pass on that statement. That was fact-free.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you just need to look at the Real Clear Politics average, and you know they have all the polls there. And prior to the latest one that had him ahead, do you say it was Quinnipiac? In 19 out of the last 20, Trump was ahead or tied and ahead in almost all of them. And in a CBS poll, reputable outlet, 52%, bit of an outlier, but still totally remarkable. So just looking at the current polling, you'd think Trump has an advantage going into November. I would say it's still kind of a 50-50 proposition, but my gut, as we've discussed, is that Trump's going to win. He has an advantage on all the issues. He has an advantage on the economy, and Joe Biden has a lot of making up to do.
He does. And last night, he got a message sent to him in Minnesota. He got over 100,000 non-commit votes in Michigan, and then he got a message sent to him in North Carolina. It's a lot of people want to vote just uncommitted, and because they don't like his policy with Israel. So he's going to get everyone angry and he's going to stop backing Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, you've already seen it. I mean, they're obviously very concerned about this. I'm a little doubtful at the end of the day these voters are going to sit out a Trump-Biden race and, in effect, help Trump. I mean, because Trump is much worse for what they care about. But Biden's clearly moved on this. It's in a large part, it's politically motivated. I mean, they sent a national security official up there to Michigan a couple weeks ago to apologize for the language they've used. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. But, you know, it's focused in these folks with these places with Arab American or in Minnesota Somali voters and in college towns. So, it is part of his base. And Israel's ended up, the war in Gaza has ended up being a wedge issue that cross-pressured Biden between his base and the rest of the American public.
So did you have a chance to read that New Yorker story that went on forever?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of relying on people telling me about it.
Well, one of the things he says, it plays into the premise of your column. One of the things he says is, during the Afghanistan and the fall of Kabul, he said, I'm listening to the press. They're either hysterical at losing it over this. Either they've lost it or I've lost it. You've lost it, Joe. But he understand that he lost it worse than Saigon. You provided images that will live in infamy and embarrass this country for generations. And he can't understand why the press is reacting like this.
Yeah, and just sheer political terms, you look again, the Real Clear Politics average, they graph it out, right? And that's where the disapprove crosses the approve, and it is higher, August 2021. And it's never been close. So that was a key inflection point in his presidency when even some Democrats were like, you know what, we thought this guy, we might not be excited by him or thrilled by him, but we thought he was competent and a steady hand, and he just showed he wasn't, and that he was out of it, and he was capable of blowing something up and then denying reality over it, and he's repeated it on the border. You know, at least Afghanistan, you could say, all right, we're kind of committed to getting out, and we've been there 20 years. The border, there's no cost to what we were doing at the border. It worked, and he blew it up gratuitously, and then for 3 years has been happy with this totally unsustainable status quo that's bankrupting cities around the country, creating crime problems, you know, creating these images of disorder, and he still hasn't fully acknowledged it.
So Axios reporting, and this is building off the New Yorker story too, that he believes, that Joe Biden believes that Trump is wobbly, both intellectually and emotionally, and will explode if Biden mercilessly gigs and goads him. Quote, he'll go haywire in public. Other sources tell us that Biden is looking for a fight. He wants to go for the jugular against Trump instead of talking about infrastructure, what he accomplished. And, whatever he wants is his economic numbers, his GDP, whatever he wants, how bad they were on the border. But he's just going to go after Trump. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking about this because you were talking about it on TV earlier. Think about infrastructure. You know, it's like daisies or nice long walks on the beach. Everyone's in favor of it, right? We're in favor of it. Who hates bridges, right? So if you say, I passed an infrastructure bill, it's like everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's great. But do they really care about it? You know, is this something they're going to vote about in a national election? Maybe at a state-level election for a governor or something, but not nationally. So I think it makes sense that they realize that touting that record isn't going to get them much. watch. And it's not crazy to think they can go Trump. You know, he is sensitive. He does respond to attacks. And if you're Trump, you want to talk about the economy, the border, foreign affairs, and how politicized the prosecutions are. You don't need to talk about anything else. That's the winning message. And the Biden idea of sort of getting him off that message is not a crazy one.
True, except for if you tell him ahead of time what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
even Trump
true.
will act. And, you know, the time he acts precipitously or instinctively would be late at night when he reads something or when he's doing an interview. But at some point, the Joe Biden, Nathan brought this up to me. He said, why did Joe Biden not make a speech last night? He had a good story to tell. Everything except American Samoa, he won. He could point out a few states in which he had a big turnout. American people are behind me. He could talk about how Nikki Haley's got 20-30% in all these states. Are they going to come to me when Nikki Haley gets out? You know, he could have said anything, but then again, he says nothing.
Yep.
I don't know how he's going to attack somebody if he doesn't speak at all.
Yeah, and you know, just that going back to that the statement he made about he was ahead in the five latest polls, beyond just what he said, you just look at it. You're like, really? This guy's president of the United States? You know, he looks like 90, and the lighting was bad, and he's so white and bleached out, like half of him you couldn't see because there's a white background. And that's why 75% of people think he's not capable of serving a second term. And in this column I wrote about how he's not normal, that's not normal. We've never had anything like that. I mean, the closest might be FDR in 1944, which they covered up and lied about, and he did some campaign appearances where he seemed vigorous, and people were like, okay. You know, plus he was fighting, you know, World War II fairly adeptly. And none of that applies to Joe Biden. So this is the thing. Like in 2020, it's like, I'm the safe alternative. But because of aspects of his record we've talked about, because of the age thing we've talked about, he's not the supposed safe alternative anymore.
Rich, in about 20 minutes, Nikki Haley's going to call it a campaign. She's going to suspend it. She is reportedly, Wall Street Journal, New York Times say she will not endorse anyone. Here's what Tim Scott said she should do. Cut 15.
Let me just speak specifically to Nikki. Thank you for running. You've been courageous. You have been strong. You've been tenacious. It is now time to join the future of this country by fusing your voters with Trump's voters and beating Joe Biden. This is no longer about any other candidate than Donald Trump. The voters have spoken across our country. They have spoken clearly. And the one message that they're sending to all politicians, it's not about the person in the mirror. It's about the American people.
So that's his advice to Nikki Haley before she, you know, obviously when you lose 14 or 15 states in one night, you know it's over. So what do you think? Will she have a unifying message? What do you expect and what would you recommend?
I would recommend a unifying message. I think she has to endorse Trump. I think she will endorse Trump. By the way, that Tim Scott's clip was very compelling. It just goes to how Trump, you know, there's something to it when Trump says, he actually sounds better when he's in favor of me than when he's in favor of himself. It's really funny. Obviously, you know, has an eye on a potential veto selection by Trump. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Haley, as we know, got sounded, you know, more and more harsh and negative about Trump as the campaign progressed and it was less and less likely that she was going to get anywhere. So we'll see what the tone is, but the reporting is she won't endorse him today. But I would expect an endorsement in fairly short order. And I think Trump should sound a little bit more like Tim Scott. He should want her endorsement. I don't think – she's not the leader of a movement. She's not going to deliver all of her voters, but it helps, you know. So they should do a rally together. He should have her at the convention, all that kind of thing. But I'm not sure – you know, even though he does come around on stuff and is transactional, when it comes to politics like this, so much has been said on both sides. I'm not sure it's going to happen.
You know, the one thing that she was doing is she was doing the Democratic arguments of he's not all there. He's not the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's cognitively in decline.
Yeah,
off prompter
isn't saying.
So that's tough. And calling her bird brain is ridiculous. Doesn't apply. You know, if you are somebody that, you know, Sarah Palin, like it or not, had that reputation. People go, well, I wonder if she's all there. Kamala Harris. You look at her. I'm not for it. But if you use that description for her, she was something to go on. Nikki Haley is extremely bright. She's very comfortable in all the issues. She's very experienced. She's not flighty, you know. So she doesn't speak. But I mean, I don't get it. So maybe
as you say, these are all personal things. It's different than saying, you know, I disagree with him or her on trade policy, right? It was just kind of thing that can be worked out or looked beyond. But these are pretty personal attacks.
Something else is not getting a lot of reporting today, and I can understand it. that RFK Jr. is set to join the Libertarian movement and go on those party platform. They are cleared in all 50 states. Rich, I understand why we're not talking about it more, but if he does this to be a factor in all 50 states,
yep.
Tell me about the possible scenarios there.
Well, you know, prior to this, I was just looking at this today. I didn't realize the only state he's been confirmed to have made on his own was Utah. So he had a lot of work to do. So this is a big benefit to him. And this is a problem with the no labels effort as well. Just getting on the ballots is not easy, and a huge advantage that the two major parties have. I think he'll end up hurting Biden potentially more. If you just listen to his message, you're like, okay, he's going to eat from Trump. But you know, you see the last name, which I think matters a lot to people, like, okay, he's gonna take from Biden. So I think Biden has a lot to worry about from his left. And even if RFK wasn't in there, Jill Stein or Cornel West and close races in swing states could make a difference as well. They could very, very well play the same role, you know, she did against Hillary Clinton in 2016.
One more thing to broaden it out in politics. Kyrsten Sinema, about a year ago, said, I'm an independent, not a Democrat. And then if she stayed in the race to win re-election, she'll go against Gallego and Carrie Lake. But yesterday she made it official, cut 11.
The only political victories that matter these days are symbolic. Attacking your opponents on cable news or social media. Compromise is a dirty word. We've arrived at that crossroad, and we chose anger and division. Because I choose civility, understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will lead the Senate at the end of this year.
So what does this mean? Goodbye, moderates, Mitt Romney. Goodbye, Joe Manchin. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, Kyrsten Sinema. Susan Collins is a moderate, is still in there. Murkowski is murky. I'm not sure he's even a Republican anymore. But besides that, what is it telling you, Rich?
Well, just the partisan pull is very strong. And it used to be that you could be a senator and kind of establish your own image and brand, and that would see you through. And that's less true than it used to be. She was a good senator. She's a substantive person, but she wasn't going to win a primary, right? She saw that, and she wasn't going to win an election as an independent. So that's why she's out, and we'll have this enormously contentious and ugly partisan throwdown between Gallego and Carrie Lake.
Right. Larry Hogan getting in is giving hope for Maryland. Should they have that hope?
Probably not a lot. You know, if anyone can win, it's Larry Hogan. But states like that, Massachusetts is the same. You can win at the state level, but at the federal level, this kind of partisanship kind of kicks in, and it's very, very hard. So I wouldn't count on him.
All right. That was a Steve Daines acquisition. He was able to convince him to do it. We'll see if that happens. Rich Lowry, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Within 10 minutes, we'll find out what's going on. Thanks so much. And also, following the other trial going on, Fannie Willis, more evidence that she's corrupt and lied on the stand. She not only should not be trying the Donald Trump, she should be kicked out of her office. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. A lot going on. Five lines are buzzing, so we'll get to some of those calls next.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade. Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
You need to call it a genocide. In front of everybody. It's not okay that there's a genocide happening. You're not actively against it.
You're lying. Do you have any comments?
You're going to cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's up, man. And you're not helping these people,
TV.
And you're not helping them.
She's 100% right, and I don't say that often about AOC. She's trying to go to the movies. You know where the squad stands, and these idiot Palestinian protesters harass her. Pro-Hamas, I should say. Anti-Semitic. Same thing, Adam Schiff yesterday wins an election. He wins the jungle primary. He survives with Steve Garvey. Can't get a word out because these idiotic Gaza protesters show up and start screaming ceasefire now. There's nothing to do with Adam Schiff, the congressman. So you're trying to, what do you want him to call Joe Biden and say, be more anti-Israel? Stop them from answering attacks on October 7th? I mean, people just turn on him. And I don't know how much they're being paid to interrupt things, but you're only hurting Democrats. It bothers me when they have such disrespect for people who actually agree with them for the most part. They just dare to be disruptive. And I'm sure they're all getting paid. Dan, listen, WGVA in Geneva, New York. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for all you do. You are a powerhouse. Been listening to you for years.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for taking my call. Brian, I've always agreed with what your content is for years, but today it kind of like I can sway myself to think that, yeah, you can call Nikki a rhino, especially when you get to the point of never mind staying in the race due to being financially backed or whatever her reason is to be in the primary for this long. But I can understand another slant on the Republican view. But I think it's all for goals and for reasons why she stayed in. And
but what makes her a rhino, Dan? What makes her a rhino, like a Republican in name only, instead of one just running against Trump?
The rhino comes out at the point you cannot endorse Trump. The primary winner, the representative of my Republican views and conservative views, which she once had. And now you've gotten to a point where you think you shouldn't even endorse him, then you might as well be endorsing Biden.
Well, we'll see,
that's
Dan.
I
mean, she's fiscally responsible. She's got a good track record with the original Tea Partier. She didn't do anything yet. Carolyn in WDBO in Orlando. I was on there this morning. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, just want to ask you a quick question,
yep.
Brian. Why don't we get people like the Speaker of the House and the head of the Union of ICE and Marco Rubio, Tim Scott? Let's swamp CNN and MSNBC to get our word out to those people. Why aren't we giving our side of the story to them?
Oh, you mean I can't book their shows? I mean, you're saying that I'm sure the Speaker would go on there if invited, you know, at the right time. Tim Scott goes on there. You know, so if they're invited, you're right. They should go. They shouldn't just go to friendly outlets, especially when you try to persuade people. But those outlets can't believe that they're trying to destroy Donald Trump, and it didn't work.
From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show, where Nikki Haley, I come to you from 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan, but we look in South Carolina, Daniel Island, where Nikki Haley's officially saying, I'm out, I'm suspending my campaign. She's referencing Margaret Thatcher. She's referencing how great the country is. She's talking about the difference in foreign policy, really, with the current president and with a lot of Republicans in Congress, and that is backing Ukraine, backing Taiwan, backing Israel, getting the support there. Donald Trump a little different there, and he wishes Donald Trump luck, but she does not come out and endorse him. We're going to bring you some highlights from her remarks. They're supposed to be short, not take any questions. The word is she's not going to endorse him. I'm open to the fact that she could. These are just reports from reporters who have been following the campaign. So we'll stay with that. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's big three.
Number three.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue.
Yes.
I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
But you're thinking,
build a wall.
Like, what?
What is exactly right? Do they not understand the criminals that are coming across? That is Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow mocking the fact that in Virginia, as Bill Malugin quickly reported, there was a 14-year-old who was raped by an illegal alien. Battle of the border. Roadblocks impede two states from enforcing their own border. I'm talking about through the courts. We'll talk about it.
Number two.
Just over a year ago, I launched my campaign for president. When I began, I said the campaign was grounded in my love for our country. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign.
And she did. Haley Healing will find out what you think is the best way forward for Haley and Trump to get together. I don't care who you're voting for. If you are a Republican, you're going to want each other's support because you cannot afford to lose anyone in this closely divided country. We'll discuss what's at stake.
Number one.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive.
Yeah, that is Donald Trump. He's very happy after winning 14 to 15 states on Super Tuesday. It's now a reflective Wednesday. We also find out what Joe Biden should have been learning from his Super Tuesday. Number one, speak afterwards. And number, I would have spoke afterwards. I would have said, what a great night it is for Democrats. And number two, go to school on what they're telling you in Minnesota. Same thing they told you in Michigan and possibly North Carolina when they voted uncommitted. And that is, we're not on board with your Middle East policy. And either you're going to change it or you're going to explain it, but the current status quo won't do for your base. Let's bring in Mark Penn, CEO and chairman of Stagwell Inc. Mark Penn, former Clinton pollster. Mark, your thoughts about, you know, while I was opening up the show, Nikki Haley was finishing up your remarks. We'll play another cut or two, but your thoughts about Nikki Haley stepping aside after yesterday.
Well, look, I think first and foremost, Donald Trump ran a remarkable campaign. 6 months ago, you would not have said he would have so easily consolidated the Republican Party and so convincingly defeat Nikki Haley in this manner. And look, she never really got the traction that her supporters thought she would. She never really found a coherent message that really broke through. She did get a lot of voters who didn't like Trump, independents, better educated Republicans, suburban, and Trump needs those voters. So I don't know what's going to happen. Is she going to hold out here? Is she going to do a little dance? Exactly what she's going to do. She signed a pledge, you know, as you know, to be in the debates to support the nominee. So it is important for Trump to, if he's going to win, to get those voters, because otherwise they're going to be seriously thinking about Joe Biden.
So if you're sitting in the Trump camp, I know he's unorthodox in every way, good and bad. And what you heard that speech, it was very traditional. She pointed out the difference between them. She's like, let's fund Ukraine, fund Taiwan, fund Israel. These are our friends. Let's not hesitate. That's different than, sadly, than a lot of Republicans feel. It's exactly like I feel, by the way, and maybe you do, too. But she says that that's different, but that's reconcilable. It's not like he is dug in against those three things. It's more Republicans in the House and Senate in some situations are. What did you hear in her remarks, and what would you do if you're the Trump people? Would you pick up the phone? Would you have surrogates?
Well, yes, I'd have surrogates. Look, if I were in the Trump camp, I'd be rather frustrated. You beat her. You beat her fair and square. You expect her to come and reconcile and bring the party together if she wants a future in the party. And so that's the big question. What does she see as her future? Does she see it in the party? Is she going to, you know, embrace Trump with no, you know, qualifications or restrictions because she lost? I mean, she did lose. So if you're in the Trump camp, you're a little frustrated. But on the other hand, there's the realpolitik. You do need those voters. You can't just throw a shoe at her, a verbal shoe, because you do need those voters come today.
So here's a little bit more as she references towards the end of her speech. She says her idol, Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
Wow. So read into that, Mark.
Well, to me, that was a dodge. She didn't come out and say, I'm going to do the best I can to bring it together. I think it's important. He threw it in Trump's, in, you know, the ball over to Trump when to go after her when she was defeated. Yes, I'd be, if I were in that camp, I'd be rather frustrated over all that, but you got to handle it, and you in many ways then have to skip over her as though she didn't exist. But you do have to appeal to those voters if you want a serious chance. The swing voters of this country are up for grabs. They have reservations about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. They're genuinely confused about what to do. It isn't the choice that they really wanted. It's the choice that the bases of each party wanted, and they're going to get them. So they're both going to have that job. And, you know, Joe Biden has a State of the Union. Will he pitch to his base or will he pitch to these voters? If he's smart, he will pitch to these voters.
So there's two things. As I mentioned, the foreign policy is where Donald Trump and her are different. She also said this about where they're different. She kept on pointing out that Donald Trump added $8 trillion to the deficit. She never amended, which is an easy thing to do. A lot of that came with the pandemic and just writing checks for people not to work. But listen to what she said.
Our national debt will eventually crush our economy. A smaller federal government is not only necessary for our freedom, it is necessary for our survival. The road to socialism is the road to ruin for America. Our Congress is dysfunctional and only getting worse. It is filled with followers, not leaders. Term limits for Washington politicians are needed now more than ever.
So I'm not sure if this. So first off, your thought about that. And it harkens back to this, Mark. I remember when John McCain got out of the race. So one thing that mattered to him was campaign finance reform. He seems to have gotten that from George W. Bush. Like, OK, if you follow me, I'll push that forward. And he did. And it's kind of been a disaster, I think. But your thoughts about what Nikki Haley might be staking out for her support?
I don't know. Are these differences really about issues that she has with Donald Trump? Or are they about style, January 6th, all those? If she's maintaining that, wow, I would support Donald Trump, except I'm more of a fiscal conservative than he is. And, you know, I just don't see that as a real argument. Maybe it's what she's saying. She's clearly holding back. She's decided that as a strategy. But I don't think these differences are really, you know, the real differences that surfaced in this campaign. Or are they the differences that really separate? The voters she has don't like Donald Trump's style more than anything else. That's really the biggest difference.
9 minutes ago, this came out. It seems to have gone out right while she was speaking. But from Truth Social, here's Donald Trump. Nikki Haley got trounced last night in record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Much of her money came from radical left-wing Democrats, and did many of her voters, almost 50%, according to the polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race and fights it out to the end. I'd like to thank my family, friends, and the Republican Party for helping me to produce by far the most successful Super Tuesday in history, and would further like to invite all of the Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation. Biden is the enemy. He is destroying our country. Make America great again. So they're still sparring. They're still staring each other down.
They're still staring each other down, but he reached out to the voters and he pitched it as about Biden, and she's pitched it about her differences. So she's, you know, look, she didn't give a thorough concession speech after a complete shellacking on Super Tuesday. You know, she won only Vermont and D.C., and I don't think she had radical left supporters, but there's our moderate independent voters who don't like Donald Trump, who are going to think about, you know, they've got the toughest choice. They've got the choice they really were not hoping for, and they're going to look at both these candidates, how they appeal them, and Nikki Haley's not going to be, you know, particularly relevant for more than 24 hours. You know how political news moves on.
Really, Mark, that's interesting, because I would think that she would be, but I'll go with you. Here's what she said about Trump.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd.
Got it. So that was the part about Trump we wanted you to bring it back. So that was okay.
No, she that wouldn't be okay. If I were the Trump camp, it wouldn't be okay. She said, never follow the crowd. The crowd just, you know, said Trump is it. She said she's a conservative Republican. Those she actually got the votes of moderates, and he got the votes of conservatives. So you know, look, she didn't give him a full throated "you beat me" endorsement the way Tim Scott did when he lost. And And I think that's the difference. And that's why I think Tim Scott, you know, is a viable candidate for vice president. And even though she would have been a viable candidate for vice president, win or lose, I don't think she exited in the best possible way if she wants a future in the Republican Party. But again, I'm over here as a Democrat. I don't know exactly how Republican voters and insiders think, but I'm giving you what my impression would be if I were there.
But you always give great insight on both sides. I forget sometimes that you were affiliated with the Clintons because you just look at the numbers, you look at trends, and your predictions are staked in fact, not emotion. I want to talk about Democrats. So Joe Biden last night doesn't say anything. I would have used that time. Just take here's 3 minutes. Everybody would have ran it. We would have ran it. Here's 3 minutes. We had a Super Tuesday day. I never take it for granted. I tried to run for president 3 times. This time it worked. Running for re-election is the most important thing for me, and I got closer today to doing it. And whatever you want to say about Trump, it most likely would have been something negative, go do it. The rematch is on. Why not use that? Is it because of the obvious that he's not smooth on camera?
No, I think it's because he has a State of the Union. He does not want to accidentally put out a message that is different from his real message opportunity. So if I were in his camp, we were debating that, and I said, look, I think you should have done the Super
okay.
Bowl.
Good
you
point.
Should put something out now. Somebody else would say, look, we're sitting here now. He probably spent all day practicing the State of the Union, and it's just tomorrow night. And I think they're saying, let's not do anything that could get us off that message. We've got probably 40 or 50 million Americans going to tune in for that message. Let's focus on that. That's what I think the thinking was, even though it's a little odd that he didn't at least put something out.
Axios is reporting that President Biden is winning over his cohorts in his strategy. He's privately pushing for a more aggressive approach to go for Donald Trump's jugular. Biden has told friends he thinks Trump is wobbly intellectually and emotionally and will explode if he mercilessly gigs and goads him go haywire in public. So you know Trump, you know 2016, you know 2020, this is a rematch. What do you think about that strategy? Would that be Mark Penn's strategy?
I like to be somewhat more issue-oriented and swing voter-oriented. But, you know, given the case and given, you know, look, we spent a lot of time when Bill Clinton's ratings was really in the 30s, getting them by this date, you know, well into the 50s. This didn't happen with Joe Biden. He still got low ratings. And given that, an all-out throw everything at Donald Trump strategy is probably going to be his best one. Not unexpected. I think that article was probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, make Trump unelectable. You might not like me, but I'm so much better than the other guy. The only problem is people look at his 4 years and they'll compare it. Number two is, this is what I worry about, Mark. Is if I was Joe Biden, I'm already swinging for the fences with the most brutal arguments that he's Hitler and he's going to leave democracy and not leave the office, or that he's going to overturn democracy. You gave it to me in December. You gave it to me in January. And now, according to Axios, you're about to give it to me for 9 months. After a while, don't I get numb to it? Isn't that a risk?
I think politics has gotten too negative. I don't like that almost 90% of it is negative, but until the voters revolt, you know, truthfully, if you're sitting there in this campaign, you don't want it to be a referendum on your presidency. You want it to be a referendum on the return of Donald
yep.
Trump. And I think Hillary actually said it pretty well. He said, look, you know, we know he's old. we know he's got limitations, but you know, he's still going to be better than the other guy. I think she actually said it, I think, plainly and accurately, and everybody knows it. Right.
Mark, if my best surrogate calls me old 4 times in 18 seconds, I want another surrogate, but I guess that's the best you can get. Mark Penn, always great. I love your instant analysis. Great job.
Thank you.
1-866-408-7669. Bottom of the hour, Ben Domenech. You talk about great analysts. We had him up early on Fox and Friends. Don't move.
Covering this election year like no other, it's Brian Kilmeade. Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back. We went a little long because to have Mark Penn to be able to comment on a really big moment in presidential politics, 2024, when people drop out, it's big news. And Haley just dropped out, and she did not endorse Trump. We weren't surprised by that, but it would have been interesting had she done it. Just looking back at other people. So Bill Bradley dropped off. Today is March 6th. Bill Bradley dropped out against Gore on March 9th. Some people were speculating that Gore got hurt when Bradley didn't have a full-throated endorsement of Gore and do anything for him. John McCain dropped out against Bush in 2000 on March 9th. That was bitter. I heard Ari Fleischer talk last night, and I had Ben Domenech this morning to talk about, and he's going to be coming up next, to talk about how bitter it was between McCain and Bush. And McCain wasn't all in for a while, and that could have hurt. I really wish McCain had been president at some point. John Edwards bowed out March 3rd. He'd end up being the running mate. Mike Huckabee bowed out against John McCain. He was the last in 2008. That was March 4th. So this is pretty much par for the course. Bush 41 dropped out in May against Reagan. So there's a lot of time running up to the general. We already know who's on the other side, I think.
The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Our national debt will eventually crush our economy. A smaller federal government is not only necessary for our freedom, it is necessary for our survival. The road to socialism is the road to ruin for America. Our Congress is dysfunctional and only getting worse. It is filled with followers, not leaders. Term limits for Washington politicians are needed now more than ever.
That is a little bit of Nikki Haley's I resign speech. I'm no longer running speech. And she did not endorse Donald Trump. Was not expected to from the early reports. Broke by the Wall Street Journal this morning, capitalized by her own reporters. And she stepped out. She said it's up to Trump to get these people, to get the people that that supported me. Ben Domenech has seen it all, Fox News contributor, editor-at-large for The Spectator World, host of the Ben Domenech podcast. Ben, welcome back. Great to see you this morning. Thanks for the incident analysis. Did anything about the speech surprise you?
So nothing about that speech really surprised me, Brian, especially given that we had the telegraphed message that an endorsement was not going to be coming today. But there is something that I think we have to consider about it. And in hearing sort of what she had to say, basically I kind of took it as I'm watching who you pick. I'm watching who you pick as a VP. And I mean, no offense to him, because I immediately reacted to this. She's like, she's basically saying, don't pick Vivek.
Fine. He's not going to make it anyway.
It's just funny because the sort of subtext here is like, there's like a handful of people in this cycle who she really did not like, and they clearly had a feeling that was mutual between them of animus. But here's the other thing I was thinking about, Brian. If you look back at what's happened in the last several years, you know, you had Donald Trump came along and he beat, you know, the guy who I think of as kind of the apex definition of a Tea Party conservative in Ted Cruz. Okay. And he also, you know, obviously beat Marco Rubio, but Rubio had, you know, kind of been around beforehand. He had some leanings in that kind of George W. Bush direction. But, you know, Trump comes along and sort of destroys the narrative that the Tea Party can take over the party. He does it differently with a set of people who include a lot of moderates, a lot of people who are, you know, in the middle of the party at the time. People forget this. You know, he was the one benefiting from open primaries and that kind of thing back in 16. And then you see, you know, the choice of Mitch McConnell to announce that he's going to be, you know, stepping down from being majority leader in November, you know, come what may. And if you think about McConnell, he's a guy who was in the original Reagan surge of 84, kind of espouses that old school view of like, combine the Chamber of Commerce with the Federalist Society. That's kind of the approach that we use. You know, and then I think, you know, in Nikki Haley, you can see him basically disposing of the lingering elements of, you know, Bush-era Republicanism, which was this kind of sunny, light, you know, scripture-infused element of it, which he obviously quoted again today. And so in a sense, what I think you're seeing is not only is it his party, he beat all the different factions of the party along the way to taking it over, which is really an incredible feat. I mean, it's something that, you know, regardless of what you think of his policies or politics, even if you disagree with them, it's something that we could never see happen. And yet it has happened, and it's happened because, you know, he positioned himself in the right way. He picked the right fights in a lot of senses, and he stuck to his guns. And people acknowledged that stubbornness, and they came along with him for the ride.
So, yeah, I guess we're going to see what happens because, you know, Trump's in control of every aspect. He's got the RNC. Now Mitch McConnell stepping aside. We had Senator Cornyn wants that job, called Trump right away.
Exactly.
They spoke for a long time. And then he said, I like Steve Daines. Steve Daines like, well, I don't know if I want to do it. And it looks as though we'll see if Senator Thune would want to do it. He was kind of ambivalent with Trump, was against it. Then he ultimately ended up endorsing him. So as they move forward here, there's a lot of speculation on who should call who. Trump does. Trump gets over things quickly. But one thing is clear, just judging by his Truth Social posts that just came out, he is not. He's looking for the supporters. He isn't necessarily looking for Nikki Haley to support him.
And I think that's actually right in the sense that, you know, people were going for Nikki not because she was somehow their champion, but because she was a vehicle for them to express their opinions. And really, you know, if you look back at it, one of the things that was interesting about this cycle in retrospect is Nikki really needed to have Ron DeSantis in this race. His decision to get out when he did actually had a ripple effect that damaged her ability to potentially pick up a couple of different states on Super Tuesday because he was no longer, you know, taking away support that now went to Donald Trump because he was the, you know, frankly, the second choice of a ton of Ron DeSantis voters. I certainly talked to them, and they were much more likely to choose him than they were to choose her. And so now the question is, you know, how do you win those voters? Well, I think you win those voters both based on tone, as we were discussing earlier, but also I think based on, you know, really inspiring them and leading them in a path that is away from chaos and is toward unity. And I think that that's something that we've seen the polls, Fox News poll, you know, that says that, you know, only 26% of Americans think that Joe Biden has unified the country. That's what he ran on. And so the fact that he was unable to achieve that goal, the fact that we have such a divisive situation right now in the country is something that's going to continue to hurt this White House.
I want you to hear what Nikki Haley went on to say about Trump. Cut 49.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
So, I mean, it doesn't shut the door on an endorsement, but it says, go get the people that I had.
Yeah. And I think it's fair for her to say that right now. But look, you know, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference whether she ends up, endorsing Donald Trump or not. I do think that she will do so. I think that she will end up on that stage in Milwaukee because I think he's going to pick a VP who, you know, frankly, she's pleased with. You know, I also think that this is a situation where we shouldn't overestimate, you know, the importance of Nikki Haley in terms of a figurehead for whatever this faction is. Like I said, I think she was a vehicle. She was the available vehicle for people to express their views, which is that, you know, they would like, you know, to hear, I think, some different things from Donald Trump about bringing the country together and about, you know, the way that he's going to chart a path towards success. He's been talking a really good game lately about how, you know, success is going to be his goal. Unifying the country through it is going to be his goal. Not engaging in, petty revenge or something like that in the way that the Democrats and their allies in the media like to frame it as just this kind of vengeance tour idea. And I think that the more that he sounds that note, the better. But now we need to hear more about what that means. What does that look like? How is he going to approach solving the problems? It's fine for him to say none of this would have happened if he was still in office. And I believe that he's right most of the time that he says that. But the finding the way out of this pit that we are currently in is something that I still would like to hear more from him himself in his own words.
So I want you to just share this. We've been doing this all day, Ben. But hear this just in. Mitch McConnell has endorsed Donald Trump. Quote, it is abundantly clear that President Trump has earned the results support, the requisite support of Republican voters to be our nominee for president. It should come as no surprises to the nominee. He will have my support. During his presidency, we worked together to accomplish great things for the American people. tax reform, supercharge our economy, generational change of our federal judiciary, most importantly, the Supreme Court. I look forward to the opportunity of switching from playing defense against the terrible policies of Joe Biden has pursued to a sustained offense geared towards making a real difference in improving the lives of the American people.
Wow. Who would have ever thought that would ever happen?
Well, look, I think, you know, in a certain sense, you talked about, you know, Trump, you know, getting over things quickly. You know, I think that one of the things that, you know, Mitch McConnell has always been is the ultimate pragmatist when it comes to the alliances that he's chosen. And it's been, you know, frankly, the reason that we have the court system that we do in America today, which has become a real defense against, as we saw in that 9-0 ruling, the craziness of the left, you know, and the insanity of what they attempt to achieve all in the name of protecting democracy. They want to take the vote away from people. It's absolutely absurd. And we saw the kind of strength that stood against that, which I think is a very good and healthy thing about America. But, you know, when it comes to people like McConnell, they can do the math. They can look at this situation and say, this is his party now. You know, he's taken it over. This is no longer a factional situation. And in fact, you know, as we were discussing earlier on Friends, the factional problems are on the left. They are among – it is the progressive younger vote that Joe Biden is going to have to find a way to get on his side after really offending them in a lot of regards, despite the fact that he's been as progressive as I think you could possibly expect. I mean, way more than people thought he was going to be. And yet they're still not satisfied. And, you see the footage of AOC getting yelled at for things like this. And it's one of these things where you have to keep up with how far left some of these progressives are going. Otherwise, they will come after you and they will break with you and they will try to sabotage what you're doing. And that's why you see these uncommitted voters and the like.
But Ben, it shows they're insane. I mean, you're yelling at AOC for being not anti-Semitic enough, not pro-Hamas enough. Are you kidding? While she's going to the movies, which I disdain, by the way, when people just try to live their normal lives and people just show up screaming in their face.
Leave AOC alone.
We've said that forever.
Yes.
So I want to end with this because I know you're passionate about it. We've not only seen the broke down of our border, 8 million people here, including thousands of Chinese. We have no idea what their agenda are. But when they start committing crimes, the president doesn't even has a press conference when he talks about how crime has gone down. And then you have how detached are Democrats from the danger at the border. Then this conversation, Jen Psaki, Rachel Maddow, mocking the fact that Virginia voters voted as number one issue was the border. They're being laughed at. Listen to this, cut 22.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue.
Yeah.
Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall.
What?
So they don't get it. And then Bill Malusia tweeted out a 14-year-old who was just raped by an illegal alien right in Virginia. I mean, your thoughts?
It's completely out of touch, and it's the exact kind of reason that they have so many problems when it comes to this issue. They're completely out of touch on it. And by the way, they're also out of touch on what we want to do with West Virginia. Virginia would like to take West Virginia back. We would like to bring them in, because guess what? Then it wouldn't be a purple or purple to blue state. It would be a red state once again, which is what it ought to be. But look, this is completely out of touch, and the fact that they are listening to this type of vocalization in the White House tells you why they have done such a poor job on this issue, why they roll Karine Jean-Pierre out there to defend things that are indefensible. And, you know, it's a real danger. It's a real liability for them come November.
It really is, but it shows detached. Sometimes you don't realize when you say something dumb, but that's Jen Psaki, who is maybe new to TV, but not new to politics or Joe Biden.
No.
She does not know that crime's an issue. She doesn't see the Venezuelan gangster brothers, one of which killed Lakin over while jogging at University of Georgia. Not clued into the fact that a 14-year-old was just raped by an illegal alien in that state. Not understanding what's happening in New York City when two cops get beat up by about 10, 18-year-old illegal aliens. I mean, how could she be so callous?
I just think it's a complete It's a complete gap, and there are people who just, again, they skate above all of this. They ride around above all of it, and they ignore it. And guess what? The people who are in touch with it, the people who live in these communities, are very well aware of it, and it's one of the things that I think is radicalizing, you know, a lot of people who say, you know, we have to do something about the border in a very significant way, in a way that might, you know, be deemed extreme by the far left, but it's absolutely what needs to be done in order to shut things down, because our families are at risk, and until we actually address this problem, nothing's going to change. And the fact that Jen Psaki and you know, people that she cares about can just skate above it and not see right. what's going on boggles my mind.
Lastly, just your father-in-law, John McCain and George W. Bush, did they ever become friends, or did they just deserve to just like work with each other?
I think that they got along. I mean, you know, my impression is a little skewed because I wasn't as close to the family back then. But, you know, they certainly, I think, you know, buried the hatchet over things over the course of years. Obviously, they worked together on the surge in Iraq and everything else. And look, I think that, you know, personal animosity in politics can only explain so much. People at the end of the day have to be practical, and they have to work together, even if they don't like the person opposite them. And that's actually a good thing. It's good that we have the kind of system that forces people to do that, so that you can actually reach out across party lines, across ideological lines. The problem is we're going to see a lot of people exiting the Senate currently. Joe Manchin, you know, Kyrsten Sinema, people like that, who have been key to keeping the filibuster in place, key to making sure that our institutions are protected. And I'm worried about what comes next if they're replaced by the kind of, you know, crazy people like Ruben Gallego that would absolutely burn the filibuster down.
Carrie Lake's got to win. Ben, thanks so much. Always great. We really wore you out today. And then last night on Fox Nation, Ben Domenech, thank you. Back in a moment.
On the road to 2024.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. There's never been anything so conclusive.
And then there was one.
Let me just speak specifically to Nikki. Thank you for running.
All signs now point to a Trump-Biden rematch. Who has the momentum? Who is leading in the polls?
The Cookie Monster.
Find out here on the Brian Kilmeade Show. The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
But it's hard for me to sit here and 1,000 miles away and right. say, well, you should do this with him, when they are much more attuned to what he's capable of doing or not capable of doing. I thought it was telling that when he didn't do the Super Bowl interview, but, you know, to their credit, they came back and they put him on Seth Meyers, which I think helped a little bit. But I don't – this is a big obstacle that they're faced with, and they have to deal with it.
Right.
But the good news for the Biden campaign is Trump is very weak. You saw the exposure he has in the Republican primaries. You're going to see more exposure with this March 25th trial coming up in New York, a much underplayed event.
So there is going to be a trial in New York, no doubt about it. And a lot of it's going to look so ridiculous that you're going to build the whole thing on Michael Cohen. That would make him stronger. James Carville and traditional predictions have all gone by the boards. And even supporters of Donald Trump are even surprised how much power he's gotten from the court cases because, pun intended, they're trumped up. What he was bringing up is even the people around Joe Biden, they're the ones who know what he's capable of doing. And they have said no interviews, no Super Bowl interview, no press conferences. And yesterday I was watching this video, and I'm going to be talking about it at 3 o'clock with Martha McCallum, of when he was asked, he gives a statement and then everyone starts shouting questions. And he says, again, I'm going to get in trouble if I answer a question, and stares straight ahead, Mitch McConnell type freezing. So that's what he's capable of. The people around him are saying he can't do the job. That's what Robert Hurst said in his speech. The New Yorker interview doesn't count. I find it interesting, and I'll be talking about that later. So James Carville weighing in. David Axelrod has had his doubts. I find it so funny. The guy that keeps selling out arenas, selling out every theater, the guy who gets big crowds that line up for hours in the dead of winter in February, he's the weak candidate, the one that's authored the greatest comeback. If he could finish it off in the next 9 months in American history. The weakest? I don't know if weak works.
For
From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan, it's the fastest growing radio talk show, Brian Kilmeade.
Glad you're here. Brian Kilmeade coming your way from Midtown Manhattan. Heard around the country, heard around the world, and everyone's watching. Fast-moving events today. We're trying to cover it all. You got Fannie Willis back on the stand trying to defend her role in the Donald Trump indictment, which I think has fallen apart before her eyes in Georgia. That would be the state case, John, a future President Trump could not get out of. And now that has fallen apart, these two corrupt individuals, Nathan Wade as well. They lied on the stand under oath. They should all be kicked out. More on that later. And, of course, the breaking news on Nikki Haley. We have Martha McCallum coming up this hour. John Chris at the bottom of the hour, one of the funniest men in America. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
They're laughing about the number one issue to Americans and to you. Battle of the border. Roadblocks impede two states from taking care of their own border, Texas and Arizona. Meanwhile, 50 states, that is the problem with illegal immigration. This is a 50-state problem, and guess who doesn't realize that? The chuckleheads over on MSNBC and CNN.
Number two.
When I began, I said the campaign was grounded in my love for our country. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country.
Nikki Haley
is now. The time has now come to suspend my campaign.
Nikki Haley is now out, and now the healing could begin, or should it? We're going to bring you highlights from her speech saying that she is suspending her campaign. Donald Trump has sent out a Truth Social out to her supporters. We'll give you the latest as it unfolds in real time.
Number one.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive.
Donald Trump, Super Tuesday for him. He wins 14 of 15 states. Nikki Haley wins just one. What that means now for the general, it is going to be Trump against Biden and playing the supporting role. All the court cases coming his way beginning in March. In a couple of weeks, we're going to find out what's happening with the Alvin Bragg situation on that case that seems to be the weakest of all, was not brought forward for 6-7 years. In comes a White House Justice Department official, and suddenly that case has got legs. The indictment is handed out, and the former president of the United States, who was the nominee for president of the United States again, will be sitting in a New York courtroom. How unbelievable is this? This just in. We have Mitch McConnell has now give his full-throated endorsement of Donald Trump, and now Chris Sununu has not endorsed Trump but said this. Nikki Haley was the first candidate into the arena to challenge Donald Trump and knocked everyone else out of the race. Nikki is a patriot, a friend who ran a great campaign and made sure it was the voters, not the media or the party elites, that had their final say. There's no reason for Governor Sununu to endorse Trump. She said, if he's a nominee, I'm going to vote for him. And it drove CNN crazy. It's like, well, I don't think he's going to win. I don't think, you know, I think he's unhinged, but I think he did a good job as president. I just think his time is done. But if he becomes a nominee, I will support him. So that's how everyone is falling into place. I mean, there's some never Trumpers out there like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, but they're few and far between because people see what's going on right now in this country. That's the reason. And meanwhile, Joe Biden can't do the job. I mean, the more you see him, the less you are assured that he can do it. And I'm thinking now, too, I'm reading the New Yorker article. It's reminding me the big story that he allowed the New Yorker to come in and give like a 20-page interview with him, Ezra Klein of the New York Times, argued that Joe Biden was governing well, but no longer capable of sustaining the performance that a campaign requires. Whether it's true that Biden has it all under control, it is not true that he seems like he does. David Axelrod told me his age was crucial to Biden. He goes, I don't question his competence as president. You give the Biden record and take 15 years off him, it wouldn't be a competitive race. That is the barrier he has to overcome. And now can Donald Trump at 77 do it? If people think that 80-year-olds can't do it, they haven't seen Mick Jagger on stage with the Rolling Stones. The guy's in better shape than he was at 50, I think. And obviously at 80, makes sense. This guy doesn't make sense. But if you want Michelle Obama to save the day, it's not going to happen. Listen to what he said yesterday when asked about the polls in which he's trailing with, that Donald Trump's been in front really for the last 4 months. Cut four.
What's your message to Democrats who are concerned about your poll numbers?
My poll numbers, the last five polls you guys don't report, I'm winning. Five in a row. You guys only look at the New York Times. They're a great paper.
You believe this? The New York Times did a study on Sunday with Siena College, and it said he's trailing by four. He's losing the Hispanic vote, the under 30 vote. He is now 26% of African-American supporters now support Donald Trump. The number, I think, was 10 after the 2020 election. What's he talking about, you winning the five polls? If Nikki Haley, either Nikki Haley did a good job, and she does have people that like her, and she has people that don't like him. But together, she had money, she had poise, she had a message. Here's what she said about Donald Trump. Cut 49.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
Wow. So I'm not endorsing him. And if anything's going to happen, he's got to come to me, which is not going to happen. So we'll see where we stand on that. But Nikki Haley gave up, fine speech, 5 minutes left. I know she was mad. I remember in New Hampshire, she got all mad at us on Fox and Friends. She got mad at Ainsley yesterday. So in terms of what to do next, here's what Democrat Harold Ford thought should happen. Cut nine.
Incumbent presidents win oftentimes, if not every time, when the economy is good and people feel it. There are a number of politicians who've had decent numbers with the economy, but people didn't feel like they were doing well. They're at home. There are a number of people who will say crime numbers are coming down or statistics are coming down. But if you don't feel safe, stats don't mean a thing. So we've got it. Democrats have to figure out how they not only craft a message, but how they go about making sure the best practices around the country of fighting crime and reducing homicide rates and reducing theft. They're able to bring some of those ideas to cities where people don't feel as safe as the numbers suggest they should.
So Harold Ford, who has a real perspective, I wish he was running for president. He almost ran for mayor of New York instead of de Blasio. That would have been great. But he was on yesterday with the election coverage and said, whatever you think the numbers say, they keep saying violent crime is down across the country. That's not the way people feel. That's not what the mayor of Washington, D.C. said yesterday as she basically revamped how they're going to crack down on crime. Not what the study said about bail reform and go easy on criminals and the lack of support for police officers said in New York City. That's not going hard on crime. And when you see immigrant crime, migrant crime, as President Trump has labeled it, you see what's happening across the country. Martha McCallum, we bothered you this morning on Fox and Friends with the breaking news about Nikki Haley and just getting perspective about the issues that matter most. And Nikki Haley dropping out, really calling on Donald Trump. You know, it's up to you to win over my supporters, he said. What's your thought about that?
Well, great to be on with you this morning, yep. And great to be with you today.
You're going to be on
always,
at 3
Brian.
Again today.
Yes, and I will see everybody at 3 o'clock this afternoon. There's a lot to talk about. And all of this brings up a lot of themes about where people are in the country right now. And, you know, I think there is obviously bitterness at the moment and some pain. You know, running a campaign, it's very emotional. You have a lot of people who work with you who are very, very invested. And I think that Nikki Haley deserves a lot of credit for being the last survivor against Donald Trump was not an easy task. A lot of people, the fellows, as she calls them, fell by the wayside. So I think she's going to be a very prominent political figure for time to come. What she ends up doing, we will see. And whether or not that comes in the short term as former President Trump starts to make decisions about who's on his team, it looks like, you know, I don't know. I mean, people who are close to him say that that is not going to happen. Strategically, it might make a little bit of sense. But one thing I will say, Brian, is that when you look at the history of the Trump team and how they have expanded the people who vote for them, it has rarely come from reaching out to the middle, reaching out to moderates. And when you look at the breakdowns in the polling and you see the areas where they are growing, it is with Black voters and Hispanic voters. If they can increase their numbers the way these polls are reflecting now, it would be very difficult for Joe Biden to win an election with only 2/3 of the Hispanic vote and with the Black vote swinging in a large way towards conservatives. It's still obviously dominated by Democrats, but Hillary Clinton got 91% of the Black vote. That's the kind of number that Democrats have always relied on. Now it's looking more like two-thirds. That's an enormous shift, and I think that's where you're going to see the push from the Trump team, inner cities, more so than reaching out to moderate voters, which have never been successful for them, really.
Yeah. So Donald Trump put this on Truth Social. Nikki, while she was speaking, Nikki Haley got trounced last night in a record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Much of the money comes from radical left Dems, as many of the voters, almost 50%, according to the polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race and fights it out until the end. I'd like to thank my family, friends, and other great Republican for the great Republican Party for helping me produce. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
No, there was. I hope she stays in the race and fights it out to the end. I'd like to thank my family and friends. Great part for me. Oh, here's more. But this is the smart part that he said. By far the most successful super Tuesday in history, I would further like to invite all of the Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation. Biden is the enemy. He is destroying America. Make America great again. So I want the supporters, but he didn't say anything about her, which is, I guess, expected.
Yeah, I think that he also put out a big fundraising push this morning. I think that they understand that now that it is Trump and Biden, because honestly, that's really what matters at this moment in this equation. And I'm sure that's where their focus is. They are going to need to do a turnout the vote operation that doesn't allow for their team to happen what happened in 2020. And I think that the one thing we need to look at big picture here today is that this Trump being the nominee, which for a long time people have assumed was what was going to happen. But now that it looks like it's happening in the next 2 weeks, this is going to fire up the opposition against him in a way that we have seen in the past. They're going to go to the mats. They're going to work on every possible get out the vote. There's even stories about, you know, federal dollars that go towards, you know, urban get out the vote efforts. And are they really bipartisan and all of this? So watch for operational tactics to be ramped up on both sides in an enormous way.
So one thing I saw that Mika Brzezinski said this morning, that Donald Trump works for Russia. Really?
Really?
We're at this, works for Russia. So we're seeing that, and we're going to see them cutting away. When you guys are doing your election coverage, I flip a lot of times to see what they're doing. They cut away from every one of his speeches because they say he's saying things that are inaccurate.
I cannot understand this. I don't understand it. I mean, you can shake your head. Rachel Maddow shaking her head about wringing her hands over whether or not it's right for us to listen to this speech or not listen to this speech. Are you covering the election? Because the candidate who represents half the country, I mean, you know, the general polls are like 2 points apart, and who's securing the nomination is speaking tonight. This is completely unprecedented. I cannot understand how you can honestly say that you're covering an election when you're not letting the people who are watching your program watch what is actually happening.
So the one thing I played before is Jen Psaki laughing with Rachel Maddow about, really, is immigration should be number one in Virginia? We've worried about a border wall. As if, how could Virginia care about immigration? Bill Malusian tweets out, well, by the way, you might want to know, 14-year-old was just raped by an illegal alien right in Virginia. And then I watched this exchange with Joe Kernan on CNBC and Pete Buttigieg. Cut 23.
So the whole move to try to come up with something, that didn't come until it became clear it was going to be a major campaign issue. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault.
That's literally not true. It's literally not true that he got rid
did
of the
see seven,
it's true he got rid
did
of,
you
fam-
see
okay,
7.2?
Got rid of family separation.
Got rid of family separation that lasted a couple of weeks. Got rid of family separation. We're missing 82,000 kids. They never acknowledged the crime element. Just
talk
people
about
came
separating
through.
Families.
Yeah.
People know that you can only get your kids across if you send them basically on their own. And so now you're right. You have 80,000 kids. We have federal dollars that are being used to traffic children into the country because they're saying, oh, this is the phone number of the place that you say you're supposed to go to. Okay, so federal dollars, get on this airplane and go to Chicago, and God knows who's going to pick you up on the other side. You know, but back to this Jen Psaki sound and how incredibly out of touch they are on this issue. And maybe, like I said this morning, maybe they should stop turning off when people are talking, because maybe then they would understand why this is the number one issue in the country right now. And maybe they would take a look at this number, Jen Psaki. Improving border security. Biden is negative 47.
Yep, he earned
negative 47. Trump is plus 45, and that's the number one issue in the country. Make the country safer, negative 31. So they better wake up if they want to cover this story in a fair and complete way.
3 o'clock with Martha McCallum. A few more minutes with Martha just after the break. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hear the ins and outs of the 2024 election right here. The Brian Kilmeade Show. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, we got a couple of minutes. Martha, I'm going to be on with you at 3 at some point.
You are.
I'm going to be talking about Joe Biden. Speaking of Joe Biden, I'm wondering, first off, who's going to be on your show? Is it still in flux with all the breaking news?
So we're going to talk to Lena Haba as we cover this Fani Willis
Trump
story
attorney.
In Georgia. The Trump attorney, she's going to join us today. We're also going to talk to Joe Concha and Arnon Mishkin, Jessica Tarlov, as we talk about what's going on today. It's a huge day, the day after Super Tuesday. And these are historic moments that define where we're going in the next 4 years. We're now deep into the election cycle. We've got less than 9 months to go as of today. So there's a lot to talk about.
State of the Union on Thursday. You're going to be back doing special coverage for that. What factor does the Trump locking this thing up? What do you think they insert into this speech? What possibilities? They got to talk about abnormality, lack of constitution, no more democracy.
Absolutely. You know, we've heard that Biden's going to go for the jugular. There's no way.
In the State of the Union, though, is that appropriate?
I think you're going to hear the importance of preserving democracy. You're going to hear the importance of deserving people's rights to an abortion. You're going to hear how much better the economy is doing. You're going to hear all of that laundry list from Joe Biden. And I think the biggest test that everybody will be watching is, you know, how is he? How does he deliver the speech? I mean, it's not that hard. You stand up and read the teleprompter. But to sell a speech like that, to have it impact. Also, I would just mention, people, go back in the Wayback Machine. Bill Clinton's State of the Union address. What did he say? We are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws, right? I mean, this is a moment. If Biden wants to stick his neck out on immigration, this is the time to do it. And if he wants to stick his neck out on crime, he said, oh, I've always been really tough on crime, 1994 crime bill, which he disowned during the 2020 election. But now he's back liking it again, apparently. So those are the things I would look for.
I would look for, too, to see what kind of response. If he makes it political, you know, the Republic's going to make some noise again. It's going to be like England.
Yeah.
I don't love that, to be honest. I prefer to listen to his speech and the shaking hands thing, but we'll see what happens. Martha, we're going to see you at 3 o'clock. I'll see you at 3 o'clock today on television because I have cable.
You don't think Mike Johnson's going to tear up the speech afterwards?
I think he will. I think it's a good. I don't think Mike Johnson would ever
like
do anything.
That kind of.
Yeah,
tenor?
How did she get away with that? That's a whole other segment.
Oh, my gosh. I know, right?
Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, we are back. John Crist is here, America's funniest comedian, in my view. You can follow him at John B. Crist.
John B. Crist, baby. Let's go.
And johncristcomedy.com. He's also got his, you'll see him on Instagram. You see him on his YouTube show. He's got so many appearances. I cannot believe the list of appearances.
Oh, yeah.
And you just added 33 appearances?
Come on, baby. The America's ready.
Does anyone consult you first? It just pops up on your Instagram.
Oh, about my tour dates?
Yeah.
No, I look at it.
Do you look at it?
There's some cities I go, I can't go there. I can't go there.
Yeah. Right. This city, does this embrace you, New York City?
Well, no. Does New York City?
Yeah.
Well, I got to go, I'm coming to, Newark.
All right.
I go to Jersey.
Right.
Big, yeah.
It's close. Newark. Huge, but Newark's coming back, though.
New York is coming back. No.
Newark is coming back.
Is it?
Yes.
But New York is, too. I haven't been here in 2 years. It's so clean and it's quiet. Right. This is true. And it's not. I feel like New York City has really done a good job of kind of.
Well, that's good, your impression, but it did rain for two straight days.
Oh, yeah.
That does tend
Maybe
to clean
it.
Things up.
Yeah. Oh, is that what does it?
Right.
Yeah, everything was just down the drain.
Also,
yeah.
I think there's one thing I was thinking about, because It seems like the garbage men at points just lose interest in picking up garbage.
They go, hey, because we're going
to
go.
It's like, we know exactly where to put it, and we're hoping you'll take it. And when you don't take it, there are just no consequences.
Nah, you think they're on break or the truck's full?
Well, they just don't want to do it.
I don't do it. Yeah. The kids these days, they don't want to work. Yeah, right. They go, hey, we're not doing that. I think we've come far enough.
So, John Crist, just so you know, you always choose to be breaking news days. Nikki Haley has said she's now out of the race.
She's out.
Mitch McConnell says, I'm with Donald Trump. What a great president. I'm now in.
And then when everybody goes, we need to know what's breaking news, and they go, we got to have John Crist in.
Right.
Is that what everybody says? We need to see John Crist's opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Nikki Haley's out as of right now. Nikki Haley's done.
As of 2 hours ago.
Dang.
Dude. Actually, 90 minutes ago.
She's out.
Right.
All right. And what's our stance?
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Lilburn, Georgia.
Right.
Lilburn. Yeah.
Number one, as an American, you should have your own opinion. You shouldn't ask Brian Kilmeade for his opinion, although mine is extremely valuable.
Yeah. I get to have my own opinion. I didn't put my name on the line for Nikki Haley. I did not.
You didn't?
Yeah. I was still hoping for the Sarah Palin.
Right.
Is she out?
She is definitely out.
She's out.
When you're on the road, do you do Trump stuff?
We have to. We do both sides. Yeah, we do. But because we have both, we have just the bit about the HOA and the yard signs when everybody had the Biden 4 years ago. Everybody's Biden in the yard, and we'll probably see it again in September. Biden all in the yard. I go, what happened to those signs? When did you? You go, hey, I got to protect this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they go, oh, that's only for the election. I go, people wearing merch.
Right.
Have you ever seen a Joe Biden piece of merch on anyone?
Not yet.
Not since.
Yes.
You never see somebody and they go, that's only for the election. I go, that's weird because the president before still has his merch out.
He's selling it.
He's still selling merch.
So, John, I was talking about this the other day. Now, think about this. He gets a mugshot. They're like, oh, you don't want a mugshot. If he gets a mugshot, the president goes, no, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to dress for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on a mug. And I'm going to sell the mug. And I'm going to use that money to defend myself in these cases and then become president.
Yeah.
And then he has a trading card with pieces of the suit that he wore.
Unbelievable.
to take the mugshot.
Yeah, yeah. It's him and Taylor Swift, marketing genius. Right. Both of them. Did you get the shoes or no?
Didn't get the shoes.
Nah,
I couldn't afford them. Yeah, I think they went for $400,000.
No, I can't really. You can't afford them. Yeah, I'm on the wait list.
Right.
Yeah, I get those shoes for sure. The Trumps? No, for sure. Those are clean.
And do you wear them? I mean, Charles Barkley said, if I see anybody wearing a Trump hat,
you got to fight him.
I'm going to fight him.
Yeah.
And with a mugshot, I'm going to fight him.
Well, unfortunately, those are the people that are going to get Donald Trump elected.
Right.
The other side is those. Because
when you challenge people, they're like, I'm no longer ambivalent.
Those are the people that are going to, everybody's so sick of what they see now that's going to get Trump elected.
So I was looking at all your stuff, but once you start watching a little on your Instagram, you can't really stop it.
You know what my middle name is, by the way?
Which is?
Do you know it?
What is it?
You don't know?
No.
My middle name. I'm going to show it to you.
You're taking out your wallet.
No, you're not going to believe. Oh, yeah, this is radio. You're not going to believe it. You read it.
Your middle name.
My middle name. See right there on the bottom?
Oh, John?
Yep.
It is not.
Yeah, it is.
It is not.
It is.
John, is that, are is. You kidding?
That's my middle name.
John Barack Crist.
That is my middle name.
So how old are you?
I'm 39.
So you couldn't possibly be named after the former president.
I know. But
so how does that happen? When did you realize that?
Okay. When I was born. What do you mean? It's a name from the Bible, actually.
Barack is from the Bible?
In the Old Testament. Yeah.
Must be really old because no one ever brought that up before.
Never. And if people ask me if I'm named after him, I go, I used to have a joke in my show. I go, my middle name's Barack. Difference is I got a birth certificate to prove it.
That is great. You know,
an old joke. I don't do that joke anymore.
That is perfect for Trump.
That's my middle name. That is,
and you love it.
Embrace it.
But why not write John Barack Crist? That would be embracing.
Oh, that should be my tour. John Barack Crist.
Would you so well? No.
Fair and change. Wait, what's the slogan? Fair and change? Change coming?
Hope and change.
Hope and change. Yeah, Sorry.
This is your name. My goodness.
Hope and change. So that's the Hope and Change tour.
3 weeks ago, we had Mark Wahlberg in the studio.
He came by.
And with the actor from The Chosen.
Yeah.
And you know what they were talking about?
Oh, no, that's the other guy. Yeah, what are they talking about?
I forgot the name, but he's a really good guy. He looks like Jesus, and he acts like Jesus.
Yeah.
So, and not only
what
on camera.
What does Jesus look like?
I just go by the sketches and the cross. I don't even know. There's a lot of people who don't think we have it right.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
Very good build. Can I just add that?
Great build.
Ripped.
Great build.
So, before there was these Instagram videos, too, he had a six-pack. He had like
Jesus
an eight-pack.
Oh, yeah. Jesus was working out a lot. Right. Yeah.
So, we were talking about praying.
Okay.
And he's like, because he's talking about Halo.
Yeah.
That is
that's the app.
The app.
Right.
So, how do you feel about that? Because you're from, your dad was a pastor, right?
The praying app is, do you have to buy it?
Yes.
You got to buy it.
You got to download the, I think it costs money.
Okay.
So, is that okay?
It's a little bit, remember when they
Should
were.
Should we tell everyone your background, though, that you're just not a guy?
My dad's a preacher.
Right. So you grew up in the church.
I grew up in church. The prayers were free back in the day. The prayers are free.
Tell that story again. I got a pen out. Tell me the story.
Oh, the prayers are free back in the day. But there's some things that God said pray without ceasing. He said that, but he meant.
What does that mean?
Back in the Bible, he could get all the prayer requests because there's one guy from a village doesn't have dinner. The other guy broke his leg. He could kind of get all the requests.
You're doing it all.
Now with social media and apps, it's all
– It's coming in.
It's too many.
But –
There's way too many.
Do you know that for sure?
Facts.
God is saying that.
Yeah, he goes – because you can go like, you know, God's getting widows, orphans, missionaries, and then people in America are like, we need sun for pickleball. It's like
– That is not going to work.
Dude, we got a lot of stuff coming up here. You're clogging the pipes.
Right. And you also brought up, like, for example, these guys in Mount Everest.
Yeah. Okay. This guy's climbing Mount Everest. Somebody sent me this story. Gets stuck. And he's like, God, please, like, rescue us. And God's like, what are y'all doing up there? He's like, I don't even want y'all up there. He's like, you should have prayed for wisdom when you were back at the house.
Right. So you got to have other standards.
Yeah, there's too many things that are coming up.
I'm pretty sure. And you said there's some people that get hired to pray for other people.
Yes.
Does that work?
Okay. Their churches have people on staff to pray. But if you said,
yes,
pray for me,
yeah,
right? Let's say you were tired from the road and you need prayer. Do you go, God, pray for Brian, and then I move on? Or do I give you a couple minutes? He's really struggling on the road. He needs time. Do you need God to show more attention?
Do you know the answer to this?
I don't know.
Or
could you just say, praying for you, and don't pray?
Right. Or no one will know.
Just say, hey, God.
Is that a sin?
I know if you're a prophet, if somebody's making money off the Pray app, I don't think that's in the book.
So, John, I just said for people, if you see John Chris in the airport today and you said, pray for me, just so you know, he will ask why.
Why?
Because I got to know what I'm praying. You're saying you understand. Yeah. I need to know why.
And you'll be getting a massage in the airport is what you'll be doing.
Because I confess to you.
Yeah, you did. That you get to get a massage in the airport.
It's
the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Dude.
When people, you don't look, when you see that little massage booth,
that's insane.
You don't ever feel tension in the comedy world?
Every time I see one, I think of you. And I send you a photo.
That's a little scary.
I go, dude.
So, I have a few things I want to bounce off you. By the way, you're going to be on One Nation this weekend. I just talked to your booker.
I'm coming through.
I don't know if you have any say in your schedule.
Oh,
I do not know how you pull your schedule.
That's Brian Kilmeade without the tie. That's
so
a One Nation.
You're on your own on the road, right? Your family's not with you?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm on my own.
So, there's a growing trend in this country. Get this, of parents following their kids to college.
Oh.
So when their kids go away to college, the parents are actually following
their
kids, sometimes moving or just getting an apartment.
Tough.
How do you feel about that? I mean, you're pro family.
Let me just say this. If that person graduates and applies for a job in my company, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and pass on that.
Right.
Yeah. And then the mom's going to probably text you, like, why haven't you turned my daughter down? I'm guessing it's daughters.
Right.
Is it guys?
Guys, too.
Tough, dude.
Is this great? I mean,
it's
good
a tough look.
Because you are pro-family.
Very pro-family.
But there's got to be let him go. Like, are your parents okay with you doing your own thing?
Well, when does the health insurance run out?
26.
26. That's the guy. Hey, the government says you can keep him as long as you want. We're not keeping them.
Right.
Like, it's done.
So when Barack Obama, your namesake, when he did Obamacare and raised the age to 26,
when we did Obamacare. Like, when we did Obamacare.
You mean America?
Yeah. No, me and
Obama. Oh, you and Obama. Yes, right.
Yeah.
So your parents are like, no, I don't think so.
No, not 26. They go, no, no, no. And by the way, even the government gives out money to everybody.
It's true.
They get, hey, come across the border, here's a check. You don't have a job, here's a check. And even the government said 26.
Yeah.
No, that's the line.
We have
that's
a line.
That's the line.
By the way, over 26, you get a hotel room, turn down service, three meals a day, most of which they throw out.
And a cell phone.
Right, yeah. And a cell phone.
You and have they to. Can come. The, yeah, well.
You have to send for more people.
Think about this. You know, what city was it where they're having the immigrants live in people's houses? They're like, open
that's
up.
Massachusetts.
Listen,
that's
and now it can just be your kids.
Right.
And they can just stay the whole time.
Why not? Like, you know what? I don't know if you know this, but we're New York-centric.
Yeah.
But I always had to study one Indian tribe as growing up, which I think is admirable for the American Social Studies Union. We chose Iroquois, and what my project was the longhouse,
right.
And the longhouse was so the extended family can all live together
forever. Yeah.
That would never work in America, don't
no,
you think? Come on.
That would
on.
Never work. That's what's called the longhouse?
Yeah, it was called the longhouse.
They just stay with them forever? Unless you're like Amish.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Right, I didn't do my 23andMe on all Iroquois.
But listen, in Iroquois or in the Amish community, the children stay, work
forever.
On the farm, contribute, do the crops, do the plowing.
They got jobs.
Look at a kid now. He's got nothing to contribute to the house. A 20-year-old graduate is nothing to contribute to
There's
the house.
No chores.
He can like maybe find to connect grandma's phone to the Wi-Fi.
Right. So even if they yell downstairs, Billy, make the butter.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, we can buy the butter.
He goes, on Instacart?
Should I do that? Yeah, and should I get Uber Eats to drop off?
Where's the butter? Hold on. It's being delivered. Yeah.
Well, that's why I got you a cow for Christmas.
Oh, I'll take it. that should be a show.
It should be. It might be. Electric cars. Everybody's going to go electric because we have to have a clean country.
Yeah.
Right? It's not really going too well, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you talked to anyone from Ford.
Yeah.
But that F-150 Lightning.
Whoops.
Turns out they're going to stop making it because no one buys it. We'd also know how to make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Electric cars now, according to a study, release more toxic emissions than gas-powered vehicles.
Whoops.
And are worse for the environment.
Whoops.
What do we do about that now? If I put you in charge.
I mean
what does that say to you?
It makes me – like the whoops is just – great.
Yes.
Because they always – if they were like, hey, we got a lot of reliance on fuel. We're going to work on a battery-powered car.
Right.
We would be like, great, let's do it. But they don't approach it like that. They approach it like the gas is the worst. Everyone who uses gas is not a Christian.
Should be protesting.
Is going to hell.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, if you say that, then we're going to applaud when it didn't make any money.
Right.
But if you go, hey – I'm trying to innovate. I'm trying to create. We don't want to rely on foreign oils. We'd be like,
all right, lost. No big deal. But you already mocked me for saying I want to hold on to my horrible gas car.
And now, whoops. Right. Yeah, that's everybody that makes me like it. They go, hey, if you voted for Trump, don't come to my comedy shows or my music shows. And then nobody comes. And then they go, okay, that's not what I meant.
But you would never say that. You're fair and balanced.
Yeah.
JohnChristComedy.com is the place to go. He's got dates coming up in Dayton, Ohio. WHIO is one of our great affiliates.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo, New York. We got three or four stations in upstate New York.
Let's go.
So we have a lot more to discuss. And John is going to be on Saturday night on One Nation, more with John Crist, because there's breaking news and it's one-stop shopping.
Let's
he can
go.
Handle it all.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Remember to check out Brian's show, One Nation, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. If you already have plans, set up that DVR and watch when you get home. That's One Nation, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. Be there. From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. And when they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller.
So that was really the President of the United States.
That was
not AI. John Crist is here.
The president can cuss now? Yeah, when does the president?
Damn in hell.
The president?
Oh, yeah. That's how he acts tough. He's a tough guy.
He can't read the teleprompter, but he can get to the cuss words.
Do you think shrinkflation is an effective way to explain to America what Cookie Monster's effective use?
Shrinkflation, yeah. That's when a guy swims in water that's too cold.
I don't think that's at all what they're referring to. Oh. I think they're talking about a response to inflation is we'll give you less of what you pay for.
Just make it a little bit more less in there, like a bag of chips.
Do you want the president referring to the Cookie Monster as a barometer?
Well, you understand how life works.
Right.
When they try to dumb it down and simplify everything have you ever been in, you're washing your hands and it's like, you need to wash your hands for as long as you can sing the Star Spangled Banner. You're like, okay. Like, we're not that stupid. So the American public is not that stupid.
It didn't just stop there. It continued into the press room.
Why did it take the Cookie Monster to speak up or an election year for this strike force to go? Why not do it a couple years ago when inflation was 9%?
I disagree with the premise of your question there. It did not take the Cookie Monster. If anything, it feels like the Cookie Monster is responding to us and what we've been saying about shrinkflation. I can't believe I'm having a conversation about the Cookie Monster,
John,
at the podium.
You can't believe you have of all the things you've addressed. This is the craziest thing, the Cookie Monster. Dude, I've heard much wilder premises coming out of that woman's mouth.
So that's absolutely true. So, John, if we want to catch you on tour, do you have any idea where you're going next? Like, for example, the next three appearances?
I'll be in Royal Oak, Michigan this weekend, Peoria, and Fort Wayne, all sold out.
April 25th, you'll be in Dayton, Ohio, Newark, New Jersey on June 8th, Buffalo, New York, Erie, Pennsylvania.
Let's go.
Durham, North Carolina, Chattanooga, Tennessee. What's significant about that? Philly, it's everywhere.
When's our tour? Me and you.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Who would get paid more? Who would get top billing?
Who's the headliner? We'll do it together.
Yeah.
It'd be like
talk at the same time?
Yeah, dude, we'll come out on it. <That's> closer.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.